Welcome to Romancing the Saints with Pastor Gene Pensiero. We're glad you're joining us as we study verse by verse through books of the Bible, discovering God's extravagant love for His people. Now we pick back up in Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, in the second part of a study titled, Look Before You Leap.
And so in verse 4, fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, Look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Mostly people don't stop and talk to beggars. They just drop their coins into a box. If you feel led to give a beggar money, I suggest that you spend time talking to him or her first. Some of you ladies, be careful doing this. I'm not recommending that you do this alone. But talk to people. Find out where they're coming from and share the Lord with them. Now, Peter spoke to him, getting his full attention. Verse 6. Then Peter said, Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Stop after he says, Silver and gold I do not have. Silver and gold is what the lame man wanted and thought that he needed. It's all that he had ever really wanted and needed up to that point in his life. Lame mankind has ideas about what they want and think they need. For example, education and knowledge is touted as the solution to just about every need humanity has. I'm not talking about going to school, going to college, getting a good education. That's fine. Talking about the philosophy that we have, that if there's a problem, we just need to know more about it, educate people about it, give them knowledge, and we will be able to overcome that as a race. If people only knew more about things like AIDS, for example, we would certainly be able to stop the worldwide epidemic. We know an awful lot about AIDS. And the people who are getting AIDS, many of them know an awful lot about AIDS, and they still engage in the kinds of behaviors that put them at risk, because it's not a thing of education and knowledge, it's a moral issue. There's a sense in which, as a race, we are still reaching out to take from the tree of knowledge, thinking we can rule ourselves apart from a relationship with God. People don't want to associate with Adam and Eve, and I can understand that. Hey, they blew it, you know. They reached out when they should have obeyed God. But instead, this is what the human race continues to do. We're always reaching out for some knowledge, for some education, leaving God behind, thinking that we can overcome these things on our own, and we're actually in rebellion against God. And we repeat the mistake of our ancestors. Peter goes on and he says, but what I do have, I give you. Peter had something far more valuable to impart to the lame man. Spiritual resources are the things we truly need. Salvation, sanctification, and all of the resources that go with getting us from point A to point B, and then point B, glorification. To be absent from our bodies and present with the Lord forever in heaven. Those are the things that we really need. And they are available through Jesus Christ of Nazareth. By his grace and mercy, this lame man would rise up and walk. It is only through Jesus that mankind is enabled to rise up and walk with God. He alone is the rightful, risen, reigning Lord. There is no other way to resolve the problem of sin, to be born anew, to be on your way to heaven. In verse 7, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. Peter must have had a gift of faith. We'll talk about that several times probably in our trip through the book of Acts. It's so hard. It almost, some of this stuff defies analysis. We like to analyze things and we like to have everything neat. And so is this a miracle of healing? Is it a gift of healing? Is it a gift of faith? I mean, what is it? I mean, you have to have some faith to reach out and pull somebody out of a wheelchair. I've never done that. God has to tell you to do that, and you have to believe that something's going to happen that isn't going to be embarrassing or criminal. And so, sure, there's faith there, and there's obviously a gift of healing. It's a miracle, and that's the whole thing. It's simpler than that. It's just God doing a work. It's Peter. He's just walking around. He doesn't know what to do. He used to be a fisherman. Now he's a fisher of men. He's given these amazing speeches. They're studying God's word, talking to people about Jesus. Now he's just going to pray, and the Holy Spirit says, "Hey, check out this guy. Why don't you grab him and pull him out of his bed and tell him he's going to walk in the name of Jesus?" Okay. And he does it. Peter didn't think, okay, now Lord, is this, okay, I need to be clear on this. Is this a miracle? Are we talking miracle here, or do I have the gift of faith? Or have I received a gift of healing? I need to know. It wasn't like that. We come back and we look at things and because we're trying to understand. And that's okay, except that as long as we don't misunderstand the sense of the relationship with Jesus Christ. You're just walking with the Lord and him doing things in us and through us, and then you can talk about them later. And so he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. How many of you remember that song? Okay, we're going to practice it next after second service and sing it for the congregation. The commentators all point out that these two verses are full with medical terminology. We don't recognize it because the words are just translated into common English. But for example, the word translated feet is only used by Luke, and it discriminates between different parts of the feet. Here it really refers to the heel. Same with the words ankle bones. They are only found here in the Bible, and they're a technical medical word that talks about a particular formation of the ankle bones, which are connected to the shin bones and on up. But you remember, Luke was a physician. His testimony could be trusted. He is verifying that this is a bona fide healing. Not only was this man's body immediately healed, though, he could stand and walk and jump. He had never learned how to do these things. It's one thing to put his body back together, but he had never in his life walked, stood, leaped. And here he was now ready for Ballet Magnificat, just doing pirouettes and all of those kinds of things. Hey, don't think this wasn't a beautiful thing. I mean, this is a beautiful dance that he's doing. He didn't need physical therapy to help him with his healing. God healed him, and he was better than new. Now, we get stuck on the healing itself. I mean, it's just so fantastic that we get stuck on it. The problem with that is that if you do, well, conservative commentators, they're going to try hard to prove that miracles, wonders, and signs ceased after the apostles died. They get stuck on the healing, and they think, you know, how come we don't see more of that? And what we do see of it seems to be phony. And so maybe God might still heal today, but he doesn't do it very much because the apostles died and he needed more healings back in the first. Yeah, that's it. That's the ticket. He needed to heal more people in the first century because he had to give them authority before the Bible was finished. And that's the argument, that healing kind of died out with the apostles. If you get stuck on the healing, you're going to, in the other dimension, then you become hyper-charismatic and you want to duplicate miracles and signs and wonders just about in every meeting you have. You want to be able to say that a miracle took place, that somebody was healed. And oftentimes, they revert to using fleshly means and methods, and they do some pretty awful stuff. The most exciting part of this healing is the last half of verse 8, where Luke said the lame man entered the temple praising God. It wasn't that he could now walk. It was that he could now walk with God. leaping and jumping and praising God. For 40 years, he had been outside, an outcast. Now, in a moment, all that had changed, and his very first action was to approach the Lord for worship. It is to restore worship that we are saved to walk with God. It is to regain what was lost in the Garden of Eden when our parents chose badly. God has worked ever since in and through our history to save us that we might know him and worship him. Verse 9, and all the people saw him walking and praising God, and then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. The purpose of a miracle is to inspire wonder and amazement. Miracles are also signs. A sign points to something. A sign represents something. A sign imparts information. In this case, the sign pointed to Jesus Christ because it was in his name that this lame man was healed. The sign represented the fact that Jesus was alive and in heaven. He must be alive if Peter could heal in his name, and he must have heavenly authority to heal on the earth. The information the sign imparts is going to be the subject matter of Peter's spontaneous sermon the next time we get together. Peter and John did what Jesus had been doing before his crucifixion and ascension into heaven. They were continuing to do all that Jesus began both to do and teach. Jesus went around doing the will of his Father, going into areas where the Father sent him, not going into areas where the Father didn't send him, encountering certain people that the Lord wanted to do a work in their life. Now, Peter and John were doing that. Instead of one Jesus, there were two. Peter and John, actually, there were 12, and then there were 120, and there were 3,120 more every day. At the end of this, there are going to be 5,000 more. All of them going around doing what Jesus began both to do and to teach all through the history of the world up until today with you and I. And so on the earth, Jesus is not without bodies to continue his work. He's not without members by which to speak and to touch people. It's us. Even heal people? Yes, if the Lord so desires. Now remember, when Jesus was on the earth, walking in the will of his Father, he did not heal this man. Peter and John, walking in the Lord's will, were prompted and used to heal him. Whenever I think about healing, I really just seriously scratch my head and say, go figure. Because it's hard to get a handle on healing. Why God heals, when God heals, who God heals. And we do. We approach it wrongly, as I mentioned, and I want to flesh that out just a little bit, because healing is never the place to start when talking about healing. If you start there, you'll be drawn away from the central focus to one of those extreme positions I mentioned. If you start by trying to understand divine healing, you might be drawn towards the more conservative theology that tries so very hard to prove that healings were mostly for the first century and should not be expected today. God wants to heal somebody, he will, but generally speaking, he's not going to. And so you're not going to be expecting to encounter anybody that might be healed. You're not going to have a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit if he wants to heal somebody and you don't believe anybody's going to be healed. It's just as simple as that. And for these cessationists, people who believe that certain gifts of the Spirit and things have passed off the scene for some reason, for some logical reason or some other reason that they have come up with, they're cessationists, and God fits neatly into a theological box. You can understand what he does, why he does it, when he does it, when he's not going to do it, and everything is all wrapped up nice and neat. And I can't believe that is really the way the Lord wants to be understood. If you start by trying to understand divine healing, you might be drawn away towards a more hyper-charismatic theology that tries so very hard to replicate healings everywhere all the time. You just, okay, Lord, you know, I see you healed, and I can't prove that you don't heal, but I don't see you healing, so what's the deal? And you start into this kind of charismatic theology that starts to believe that there's something wrong with the church. There's something wrong in my heart. There's some sin or some technique I don't know. And we begin to analyze healing and study divine healing and start teaching people how to heal. About 10 years ago, there was a movement that swept through the church, and they were teaching people how to heal. I don't know how you can teach somebody something that's a gift that has to be given to you, but they were teaching. And they got so far into it that they were telling you how to hold your hands for certain types of healings. This was a back healing. You would get behind somebody with your hands in a certain angle and at a certain distance and pray at a certain way for their healing. Now, you know what happens. Some people don't get healed. Because you're trying to heal somebody. It's not that you had a sensitivity and that God put all this together. It's that you just are trying to heal somebody. And so people don't get healed. What happens then? Well, if God still wants to heal and you know all about healing, you're going to have to say that there's something wrong with that person. That person must have sin or not enough faith. So now you've got, let's take our guy here in our text. You've got a guy, he's been crippled from birth. 40 years he's been begging. And you come up to him and say, take my hand, I'm going to lift you up. And you lift him up and he falls down because his ankle bones don't get reconnected to his shin bones and his heel doesn't get healed and he falls down. Well, either you made a big spiritual boo-boo or you have to assume that there's something wrong with that guy, that he's in so much sin that God won't heal him. God bless you. Not only are you lame from your mother's womb and you know you can't even be healed because you're such a sinner. I mean, this is what it leads to. I've seen on television some awful healings. The worst healing I ever saw on television. I wanted to heal somebody that was deaf. I sense that somebody is deaf. And so they bring this young boy. Couldn't tell exactly how old he was because it's clear that he had some birth defects. I'm going to say he was in his teen years. He, you know, just wasn't average looking. Had a speech impediment. Gigantic hearing aids. Okay, so I guess he's not really deaf. I mean, he's legally deaf, but he's not deaf. So here he comes. And the evangelist, I think it was Peter Popoff, prays for him that he'd be healed. He goes backwards, you know, being slain by the Spirit. And then they said, are you healed? Are you healed? Are you healed? And the young man, I'm healed. I'm healed. So apparently they healed his hearing, even though he still had his hearing aids on, but they didn't heal his speech impediment or anything else about him. And the entire audience, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I don't know what was going on there, but it wasn't God. It was awful. It was tragic. It makes you want to cry. And so healing is not the place to start. Start by simply seeing everyone you encounter who is not a believer as lame. See them spiritually the way God sees them. They're beggars outside who cannot come in and worship the Lord without help. Jesus is the beautiful gate through which the lame may come and be healed spiritually. Healing is not the place to start. The healer is the place to start. He is our central focus. Reveal him. Let him determine when and where miracles and signs and wonders will follow. It's not up to us. Our part is to develop a sensitivity to the leading of the indwelling Holy Spirit. And that's something that all of us really need to work on. All of us need to pray today and say, Lord, you know, today, tomorrow, sometime this week, I want to have you speak to me about somebody. Maybe a random encounter, maybe somebody I already know, and say, hey, Lord, you know, Gene, go up to that person or just, you know, go over here. And then do what the Lord tells you to do. And when the Lord's not doing that, We want to be walking with him in such a manner that our countenance will be one that will draw people to us when God does speak to us. And we have that same mix that Peter had. Peter and John walking with the Lord, just going about their day, shining with the glory of God in a spiritual dimension, the Holy Spirit with this cripple, pointing them out to him, and then coming together in that moment, changing his life for eternity. Sure, for time. I mean, it was cool, I bet, to walk and leap, and I bet his name translates into Arthur Murray, you know, probably. I mean, he probably taught dance lessons after that. I mean, this guy was into it. But more than that, it's the spiritual healing. And that's not a cop-out. I mean, you know, people say, well, God still heals today. He heals spiritually, brother. Well, yeah. I mean, that's pretty great that people who are on their way to hell are set for heaven. Would we like him to heal physically as well? Sure. But we just need to leave it with the Lord. Hezekiah wanted to be healed in the Old Testament. He was bummed. Isaiah comes to him and says, you're going to die. You got so much time. Oh, please. Oh, yeah. All right. I'll give you 15 more years. And then Hezekiah made some terrible mistakes in those 15 years. Didn't turn away from the Lord, but it wasn't good. And so let's just leave all that with the Lord. Let's just share Christ with people. He can heal you for eternity. You may still die. You may be left crippled. You may not. That's up to the Lord. But one day you'll be absent from your body and present with the Lord. One day the trumpet will sound and we'll be caught up, changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and forever together be with the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for these things. Help us never to get sidetracked, Lord, on things that are secondary. Seems odd sometimes to call healing a secondary thing, but it is compared to who you are as the healer. You know men's hearts. You know men's minds. You know when, where, who, how you want to heal. It's not up to us, Lord. We're just your members. You're the head. We're the body. We're your hands and feet and mouth, as it were. What we need to focus on is not healing people, but just on people, on being sensitive so that your Holy Spirit can tell us who to go talk to, who to approach. And when we're not being used in that way, Lord, just spending time with you, loving you and being loved by you, so that our very spiritual countenance is drawing people to us, or at least not repelling them. Do all these things, Lord. I pray that as we go through the book of Acts, we would understand how very, very simple these things are, how we have complicated them in our desire to make them more simple. May we strip away layers of misunderstanding and see, Lord, that it's really still as it always was. It's about you. You are the one who has come in the volume of the book. It is all written about you. It's your love and grace and mercy that men and women must see, that must flood and fill their hearts, that must draw them to you. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's please stand together. You're going to need some physical strength for this spiritual work, and so grab a burrito. Of course, you might be out of commission for the rest of the afternoon if you, this thing's massive. So good to be together. I love our fellowship, one with another, whenever we meet. May God bless you richly, is my prayer. Some of the men will be here, as always, in the front of the church to pray for you or with you. Whatever's on your heart, come and bring it before the Lord and share that. May God bless you. Amen.
Pastor Gene has been serving in the Central Valley of California at Calvary Hanford since 1985. You can find hundreds more Bible studies by visiting our website at calvaryhanford.com. There you'll find video, audio, and transcripts of sermons just like the one you just heard. You can also find links to get Pastor Gene's books at calvaryhanford.com/books. We hope you'll join us next time on Romancing the Saints as we continue to discover that you are the passion of Jesus.